Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new, amazing app.
This one's a game changer.
There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon, Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife, Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more.
Plus, every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen.
And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more.
So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself.
Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.
Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Do appreciate what you do. How you doing, Drewski?
I'm good, man.
Good.
I was thinking about a few things. Should we go to calls first? I got like a bunch of stuff on my mind. We'll do some calls?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then I'll get through this.
All right. Let's start with Dominic, 37, San Francisco. Dominic.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, man?
Hey, my mom is coming out for a month to help out with my kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys have some interesting mom stories. I thought maybe you could help me with two questions.
I don't have a lot to say about my mom, but go ahead. She's a good woman. She lives in Indiana. She did the best with what she had. Hardworking, you know. Well, her work ethic is what carried her.
Yeah.
It wasn't book smarts. You know what I mean?
It was, yeah, that all that effort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, my mom puts in the effort, but and it's no concern about how she's going to handle dealing with my kid or anything like that, but the first concern is the food situation. We eat fairly healthy. Not, you know, we don't go shop at Whole Foods, but, you know, Trader Joe's. And she eats boxes of cereals for dinner that she buys with a, you know, for a nickel with a triple coupon. And she's really not happy unless we're eating. There's three things: China buffet, pizza, or fast food burgers. And I'm already getting the Papa John's coupons.
Right.
So for a month, I'm just not. And if we go out to eat, if I leave more than a 10% tip, I'm going to hear about it for a long time.
Right.
So that's the number one concern.
Dominic, what do you do for a living?
I'm a sales manager.
What am I picking up on poor Dominic? And this is not meant to be negative, Dominic, but there's something troubling me. Like do you like to pick fights with your mom?
I've had a bit of an interesting relationship with her where, you know, you guys talked about a prior show about how, you know, your mom might yell anytime you kind of go up to her. I think maybe it was Adam saying that.
But that's me.
She was a screamer.
Adam's mom doesn't speak.
Well,
she will pipe up to tell you she feels like she's being pressured and she doesn't like your tone.
And to talk about Jules, what's her name? What's her friend's name from the Bohemian that she admired?
Jules Dash?
Jules Dash.
No, that's
my maybe it was your grandma that had a Jules or something. But anyway.
Jules Mandel.
Yeah, Jules Mandel. Yes. That's it. But no, that was my mom that was screaming at me all the time.
Yeah, so I feel like maybe I had some trauma with her growing up.
Yeah.
She was very, a lot of anxiety, all, you know, scream at me for, you know, I drop something, it would be screaming. Yeah. So I still, when I think about her, I get anxiety.
This
is that thing we were talking about.
My kids drop stuff, knock stuff over. I have no interest at all. What I have an interest in is people that are sort of willfully defiant and don't listen and, you know, sort of ignore wishes. But
mistakes are impinging on you in some way shouldn't trouble you, right?
The mistakes?
No, and it's just we're talking about impingements, like just a child like going, hey, 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 hey. That's an impingement, or making a mistake is an impingement. It's just sort of, you know, affecting the course you're on, and who cares?
I hate anyone being lazy, and I hate telling these guys for the 55th time there's cobwebs around here. Somebody's got to mop it up or something. Ugh. I hate that. But anyone drops a glass or mug, I don't care. I'm not even interested. I won't even turn my head.
Yeah.
It's a mug. The mug costs between 49 cents and $2.89, and now it's gone.
It is a strange impulse to go, what are you doing?
Like, well, that's it. Now I'm fucking rip shit because I don't know what they're saying. What are you doing?
It's the same thing when you pull out of a driveway and somebody's walking by. Like, ah! maniac trying to hit me.
No, listen, it's everything. It's like when you nudge them and go, you're snoring, and they go, well, leave me alone. It's like, what do you think I'm doing? Just getting up at 4:30 in the morning and pushing you on the shoulder because I'm a bad person? I'm like, why is there no context here? Yes.
Oh, my wife has a good one every night. Every night. Does not close the shades that make it when I close them.
Right.
And every night, because the light comes directly into my eyeball at 6:30 in the morning, I close them and every night the same response. Oh, you're trying to wake me up?
Right.
Yep. Every night. That's my goal. I walk in and go, how can I wake you up? I know. Every night I'll move these shades. All she has to do is shut the fucking shades.
Let's go full game instead of bye and just call it a life. Because I'm the same way. All I do is try to tiptoe around people and not knock them off their whatever. And this thing of it's a wiring. And I get it. I get the wiring. But you're Dominic's mom over here. And Dominic.
So Dominic, I feel the residual of all that on you. And I feel like it's coming off of you a bit. And.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm getting fired up just listening to you guys talk about it.
Yeah. And I feel like that is what's going to create the trouble for you, not the frosted flakes. It is that she's going to pick up on that. She's already set it up that way. And if I can – this is not me being an advisor. This is me sharing personal experience with you. The way I dealt with it as best I could is I thought this relationship is not going to change. She is not going to change. Nothing about this is in it for me. But for me to be a good person and to fulfill what I need to do to be what I consider a good son, I will behave as if in accordance with being a good son.
It's better for you.
And expect nothing in return. Do not expect anything different or anything else or anything that would be helpful, nourishing, resolve the trauma. That's got to go somewhere else. You just got to be a good son and be thankful that she's being a grandmother and get on with it.
Drew, would you like to hear how evolved I am? But
yes.
You tell me. Okay. You guys tell me.
Okay, we'll tell you.
I have done many a rant on when the maid comes to the house.
What?
And the maid unplugs. Well, just the maid coming to the house. But when the maid then gets down and unplugs my water cool mattress cover, and they unplug it, and they plug in the vacuum cleaner, and they just drop the white cord on the floor and plug it in. And later on, they unplug the vacuum cleaner and they just leave it on the floor.
Oof.
In which case, I come home. At some point, I climb into bed at 12:30, and I hit the remote for the thing, and it does nothing.
Right.
So now I think it's out of batteries. Is the remote bad? So I like undo the remote. It's you know, 12:30, and I'm sitting in my bed trying to be quiet. I'm trying to roll the things around. Is it bad? How the remote's lighting up? Why isn't the thing? And then I go look and start to turn on the lights and look around, and oh, yes, lo and behold, they've unplugged it, plugged in the vacuum cleaner, vacuumed the very small room, and then unplugged the vacuum cleaner. Not from the next room where they gave a mighty tug on the cord. They walked over and unplugged it, and they just left the white cord on the brown wood floor. That they unplugged moments earlier.
It wasn't like you would have missed the...
A bit difficult.
You know, it wouldn't have, yeah.
So I've done many a moment on this in front of the family. And what's now happening is I'm doing a little remod, working on a master bedroom. And Lynette has pulled into the bathroom with me. And I noticed this morning when I went for the water pick, I go to turn on the water pick and then it doesn't turn on. And then I'm pushing the buttons and stuff. And I realize, oh, it's unplugged because the curling iron. And
we've had this fight. I've had this fight too.
And I just thought my take with all this stuff is just simply put it back to what it was. Like, you unplugged it, and it's just sitting there.
Let me give you
unplug it, and then you unplug the curling iron, and that's now there's an open thing, and the thing's sitting on the ground. And I thought about it for a while, and I thought, well, let's just be super courteous and just go, look, no problem. But when you're done, just plug it back in, you know, get back to zero. Give it some thought. Went around. Thought about including other family members. Whoever did this, could have been Sonny with the curling iron. And then I thought, nah, screw it. Moving on.
Oh, didn't even try.
Didn't even try.
And there's only one outlet, not two?
There's two outlets.
How come she couldn't have used the other one and kept yours in?
One has the toothbrush plugged into it.
Yours. Your toothbrush, yeah.
Yes. The other has the water pick plugged into
it. Oh. Got it.
Right.
Got it.
So it's happened more than once. I think it happens all the time. And I look at it as sort of a general symbol. But I would like it, but I don't want to get into it. And
well,
I just realized that's who it is, so I'm moving on.
I got into it because the curly iron and the hair dryer got plugged in and my toothbrush came out. And I went, look, I just want equity. That's all I want. I don't want my toothbrush to have priority over your curling iron. I just want equity. I'll keep your stuff plugged in, but you keep my stuff plugged in. That's fine.
Yeah.
No problem.
It's an interesting symbolic choice.
Hey,
I don't think anyone thinks about it, but you and I, but I don't know. Where are you guys at? Do you have the conversation? It's going to happen. But if you have the conversation now, when it happens again, which it will have to happen again, you will then be slightly more perturbed because you had a conversation about it 8 days ago or 4 days ago, or sometimes it's a matter of hours and it's happening again. Maybe you're just setting yourself up by that conversation, mm-hmm. if you really think about it, because mm-hmm. it's going to happen 3 days from now, and I'm going to care less. If I had the conversation, and by the way, the conversation does not prevent anything from happening ever. I have learned in my adult life, the conversation actually speeds things up a little bit. Like, you were going to get 72 hours before the next unplugging. Now it's 48. That's what the conversation. I've not noticed a conversation eliminating or even putting a dent in any behavior as an adult. Nobody, I don't believe I've ever spoken to about anything as an adult. It was just, could you please stop doing this? I don't think it's ever ended up in that activity stopping. Have you? Is that your experience?
No. Yeah, it got better.
Really?
Yeah.
But I'm actually thinking.
I got to be fair. You know, if we're gonna blast everybody,
I'm not blasting. So, I don't think the maid has any malice.
Right.
No, I don't think Lynette has any malice.
No, I don't think anybody's in malice. I just think it's...
Well,
just,
you're not. I'm not blasting
it's
somebody.
It's the symbolic quality of it that you're talking about.
But it's
that's
symbolic
troubling.
To us.
Yes.
I don't think they think about it, which is...
That's symbolic.
Well, that could be. Right, maybe right. Drew's right.
All right. Here's what's symbolic. ZipRecruiter.
Mm.
ZipRecruiter. That's right. Trying to find talent. Some parts of the country now, they are really having trouble finding the talent they need for the jobs they have, and it's a big deal. I know we've been talking about unemployment for a lot of years, but some part of the country needs talent. And ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people for you and your job. Unlike other sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. Over 80% of the jobs posted get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. Why would you do anything else? No juggling emails or calls. Screen, rate, manage candidates in one place. So you get to sort of organize it all right there at ZipRecruiter with their easy-to-use dashboard. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Why would you not do this? What's going on? Why would you not do this? If you need to hire somebody, ZipRecruiter, free. All you do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. That is ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. Try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/ADS.
So I made the decision not to have a conversation about it. It was actually easier. And then the next time it happens, I'm not going to have thoughts about it, because I never had the conversation versus had the conversation and the behavior continues. All right. But Drew says have the conversation.
I have had success with the conversation. You're sort of burned out by it because it's not going anywhere. And it's sort of generalized to many other similar situations like keys and leashes and things like that.
Well, the keys and the leashes have, you know, it's a decade-long process.
Right. Well, maybe think of the same thing for the toothbrush. But maybe they take about 8 to 10 years, and you'll have your toothbrush plugged in.
No. But see, the bathroom sharing is a temporary thing.
Well, they've helped you so much in the build-out, right? They're jumping in and building that new
Absolutely.
Bathroom with you. Everybody's all
they
in there.
They're all hands on deck.
Everybody. They've designed it, painted it, picked the colors.
Well, they didn't, not that, you know, they weren't doing foundation work. But okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, so
there was what happened to that guy with the red light called? That Chris?
Yeah, I still have it. I was pulling out the video. I didn't want you to go to it until I had the video queued up. I just sent the video.
I want to understand. I can't get away from it. Is it possible that we go to that one?
I didn't even see that question.
Yeah, they pulled it down real fast. It's on line two. But all right, let's go line
four.
Line three's been a while, too.
James?
All right, James, yeah.
Hey, guys.
32 Chicago?
That's me. Hi.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say thanks for all the encouragement. It's my achievement day today.
Yeah.
And, because I've been listening to you guys for a long time, ACS, since probably the beginning of the podcast, back when I was in law school, and listened to you guys and all, you know, four or five of your other podcasts, because I run and I like to listen when I run and all that.
Congratulations.
Kind of stuff.
Thank you, winner. What's going on?
Yeah, I knew that was coming. So I started my own business a year ago when I left the financial industry. And I just wanted to say thanks. It's been absolutely awesome. It's been the coolest thing I've ever done.
Starting your own business.
And, yeah, and we've been super successful so far, and we're about, you know, we're going to double this year in revenue, and we're growing like crazy, and it's been really cool. So I just wanted to say thanks for all the encouragement.
Our system is set up for entrepreneurship. For small business. That's what it's supposed to be anyway.
Supposed to be.
The government's, you know, grinding it down as much as they can. But really, I mean, at its best, that's how capital is created, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although,
I mean, that's part of the reason I got out of the financial industry was the overregulation and such like that. So.
Oh, yeah. No, well, Dodd-Frank was just making sure you didn't steal from people. Come on now.
Yeah, you know, they know what's best for me. That's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, listen. I remember when Obama, he explained it all. You didn't build that business yourself. You didn't do that alone. You had school teachers along the way. I don't know who said it, but all you have to do is get in a group of auditorium and you go, everyone raise your hand if you've had two good school teachers, and half the people's hands come up. Now, if you've had more than two good, it's like hands start coming down. If you've had one, I've had 135 school teachers and two of them were good. Fucking. You didn't do it yourself. You had school teachers.
Not a great batting average.
Jesus fucking Christ. All right, sorry. What's the achievement day, James?
Oh, so it's just my business.
But you started it 1 year ago today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. A year. That's good.
What kind of business is it?
It's a little bit strange, but I'm sure you guys have heard everything, actually. We make biodegradable pet burial pods and urns.
Oh, Did you? No. A friend of mine out here is doing export to Australia for you or something. Is that you?
No, we do sell in Australia, but we're just started, so I don't think our actual connections there are in Australia. So I don't think
a woman who's setting up these. You get your urn and you put your – I think it's great for people, frankly, but they put a pod like a tree in there, and the tree grows out of this urn and the ashes. And they are building stuff.
Yeah, similar to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do one with – great idea. It's got a wildflower seeds in it, so you can plant it, and then you get a perennial wildflower that pops up.
That's cool, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, good. Good on you there, James, as they say down under. I love this story, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Call us a year from now and tell us just how much your business has grown. All right, so this guy, Alexander.
Now it was up there as something different. I thought what it was is he was going to take on your left turn red light thing, and it went up there as ran a red light, you got hit, Adam. What do you think? It's like, he's not telling people to run red lights. But let's see what he's got.
I've now upped my game to running red lights, though. I do. I just look around. There's no cops. Just do it.
All right.
Don't do a lot of that now.
All right. Well, that's you. You're not advocating that.
I am.
No, don't advocate that.
Well, no, there's no cuts. There's nobody around.
All right.
Look.
Be in the middle of the night, red light stuff.
Well, when you pull into your garage at the end of the night, you have to apply the brake. Otherwise, you'll go through the wall and into the house, right? But that'll be on you, right? You'll have to decide.
Yeah.
You make 100 million decisions a day when you get behind the wheel. You have to, when you merge onto the freeway and get into traffic, when to change lanes, when to apply the brake. As a matter of fact, all this bullshit is probably making people soft, lazy, and more reckless because we're telling you everything. Mm. I know it. I know there's people that have no idea when to turn. Someone's not telling them to turn.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I do is I simply look for traffic and danger and pedestrians, and then when I don't see any, then I use my own decision-making.
Discretion.
My own discretion, as if I was at a intersection that had no lights in it.
Okay.
So everyone should do that. Of course.
This guy got hit on his bike. So let's see what that
Alexander, 19, Chicago.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Drew.
Hey, now.
What's going on?
Oh, nothing. Just, this happened before you went on the rant of going through red lights. So
Well, yeah, that I started that before you were born, so.
And it's true. That's true. Actually true.
I've been doing it for a million years. Yeah.
How, that's weird and true.
Yeah. So,
how did you get a video? Were you on a GoPro, have a GoPro or something?
Yes, I have a GoPro strapped to my helmet all the time.
I think that's so smart. I've noticed that all the motorcycles on the freeway have that now. Every single one.
Is this a motorcycle or bicycle?
No, bicycle.
No, it's a bicycle.
I'm just saying.
Well, no, I don't know. When someone says bike, I don't know if it's a motorcycle or bike.
Oh, my God.
We just watched you get knocked to the ground. So what happened? You're going through an intersection. Looks like a black Acura tagged you.
Let's see that again.
Yeah. He was turning. I was going straight. Since I've been riding for so long in that area, I already know like how long it takes for the light to change. But I had saw his light change to yellow to going to red. So I was like, I timed it correctly right when, you know, I swerved and when I was crossing, he wasn't paying attention to his light. His light had turned red. At the moment I got hit, my light had turned green.
But not only that, forget the turn green. I don't care who was going anywhere. He turned into you. He should have seen you. How did he miss you?
I don't know.
Didn't seem like he braked. Yeah.
Yeah, I ended up getting money out of it, too. So that's the good thing about having the camera.
So how much you did get money out of it?
Yeah, I got a new bike out of it.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
What injuries did you sustain?
I wanted to know.
So when you see the end of the video, I looked at my arm. Yeah. I got some road rash on my left arm, my right arm, and just a bruise on my right leg, my left leg, and my right hip.
I'll tell you what, more than anything, when I saw that video, I thought, dude, you like Gumby. He like flew off the car and got right up. That's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I'm not a puss like these kids out here.
Forget puss. Like, oh, you're indestructible. Puss. Hope you play football or something. Like, wow.
What's the plan at 19, Alexander?
Well, right now I'm going to school for education, but I don't really know if I really want to stay into it, but it's right now. I completed 1 year so far.
Find something you really want to do.
I agree. Going to school for education feels like...
Wait, to be an educator?
I'm going to the beach to study salt water. Like, just it's there. It's ubiquitous. You never get out of it. Like, also...
If you have a passion for it, that's one thing. I can understand.
Who cares?
You
care. First off, I know everything. Everyone's got to work harder and get their shit together. There's not education this and education that.
It.
Every fucking study that now comes out just basically says I'm right. It's all just about grit and being determined and not being scared to work and not being scared to get your hands dirty. Every single study now just basically says, and by the way, I just read one today, too much homework, not good for kids. Like, oh, who knew? Who knew? Who could have possibly seen this? Who would have known this?
Here's the good news. For kids with funny shaped heads, helmets are back.
I'm so angry, Drew. I'm so angry.
Really? Angry?
I'm just saying, you know why I'm angry? Because I don't like it when people feed me erroneous information.
Yeah.
And especially
people with like expertise, it's really supposed to know better.
You know, screaming about the other day, water. When we played football, just you'll cramp up, get a rinse, get a rinse. Don't risk this weather running jingle jangles and gassers in the middle of the field, the full equipment, and you dying, you can't get any water. You know, 9 years old and dehydrated and dying. Don't drink this cramp, this rinse, you'll cramp. Then you go forward to, you should be drinking your body weight in ounces every single day, every day. And then I'm saying, huh? And then it goes forward to every dietitian says you need to carry liters of water with you. You're not drinking enough water. Remember I'm saying, why is everyone so fat then? If everyone's drinking, everyone's carrying water now, they're chugging water. Why are they still fat? Now it's 2017. You know how much water you should drink? You should drink when you're thirsty. So this is what, 40 years of listening to fucktards about, these are the experts, they're telling you about what? About what? The educational experts, the homeless experts.
Well, I don't like...
The homeless experts.
I know.
A high cost of living. Oh, fuck you. You know what the fuck you're talking about, obviously. And just pick water. 40 years. 40 years of, is coffee good for you, is bad for you? 40 years, is red wine good for you, is it bad for you? The experts say, they don't know fucking shit, except for when the expert tells my wife Sonny needs to wear a helmet, she believes him. I don't, but I'm not an expert. So who do we go with? We go with the expert. Mm-hmm. What about the misery of wearing a helmet 23 hours a day for 2 years? What about how about we're miserable? What about the misery of us sitting in traffic at lights that we could turn at, but we're not turning? What about the general sort of misery of this kind of stuff? Does anyone want to factor in that impact where these fucking quacks go handing out? Again, it's the ultimate stupid or liar with the cranial expert. His glasses aren't going to sit right on his head.
It seems to me there are three conditions. I'm just thinking about it. And wrote them down. That people shouldn't be... Their opinions should be kept to themselves. Here are the three conditions. And Tucker Carlson set the first condition. He apparently told this to his staff. If you hate the person or topic you're reporting on, don't report on it.
Yeah.
Hate. So if you hate it, don't do it.
Sure.
Number two, no tilting at windmills. If there's nothing there, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Don't walk away. Don't create it. Okay. Number two. And then number three, if you have an ideology in regards to, again, it's very similar to the hate point, no. You need to do something else. You need to be, of course.
Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. It's like you hear all these stories. It's like, oh, the president was snubbed by the first lady of Poland. He went to shake her hand, but she went. And then a second later, she turned around and shook his hand. But first, she shook his wife's hand, as tradition would have it. It's such a non – I don't even know. But it's – whether it's that or Cecil the Lion, it's like it's a non-thing. What are you even talking about? Go find something.
It's the hate and the tilting at windmills right there. Boom.
Right. But are we supposed to listen to you when you say you have a good story next week if this was last week's story?
I've now gotten to the point where I don't care what paper I'm reading, what outlet I'm listening to. Every single piece of news I look at, I go, well, that may or may not be what happened. Everything. I just go, well, I have no idea if that's real or not. Everything on both sides. I don't care. It's all just sort of, well,
yes.
Interesting, but I don't know if that's actually what happened or not.
No, I have it, but I'm much more leery of the left because of the feelings part. See, the story can be tilted any way to fit your party's agenda.
Well, but
it's the feelings. Quiet. It's the feelings that get worked in constantly that is really stretching us into some weird direction where the feelings become part of the story.
Now, you've always told me you thought the pendulum was going to spring back. Is this part of the pendulum springing back?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And what's your prediction from here? I can't see where we're going.
My prediction is the same thing. They'll do the same thing with Russia as they did with racists. Ooh, alliteration. Mm. Write that down.
Russian racist.
Does racist mean anything to you anymore? Like when someone says, so-and-so made a racist statement, do you even think? When I was a kid, that was a big deal.
Ooh.
If you were a sports announcer or you were somebody in some position, important position, and somebody said there was a racist statement, like, what did he say? Did he drop an N-bomb? Like, what happened? Now, it's nothing. Right. And so you think about it and you go, it's nothing. I'm sure it's nothing. And whatever's going on with somebody met with someone from the Kremlin, it's like, I just think to myself, it's nothing. There's nothing. And it's fine. It's a really good strategy if a meteorite's going to hit the planet in the next 4 months. But if we're going marathon and not sprint, it's not a great strategy.
Right.
Because you're undermined.
Right, wears you down. Yeah, you start. Yeah.
You stop listening. You stop digesting. Doesn't mean anything. Again, it's like calling everyone a racist is fine if you're going to die in 6 months. But if we're going into year number 11 of you calling everyone a racist, and you know, or when you start talking about suppression or you know denied access, you know birth control or whatever, go buy your own birth control. You'll have access to it.
The axiom that if you're completely tolerant at all times, eventually you become intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
Excessive tolerance, by its nature, has to breed intolerance.
Yeah, it's a very good. That's a very good axiom.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and so those guys
do body spray and cliches.
That's right.
I like that. No, it's weird.
Because tolerance has been a virtue. I get it's a virtue. But just like I thought to myself, you know, I've sort of had this model in my head that the previous generation was interested in freedom and the millennial generation is interested in tolerance. But I remember in the 80s and 90s thinking, geez, we are just pushing the limits of what freedom should be. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember a psychiatrist telling me that, and she was from Hungary, and she goes, you know, I think this freedom stuff is going too far.
Oh, by the way, yeah. Speaking of the experts, the whole psychiatrist, psychiatric, and psychologist with the, you know, self-esteem generation, all that kind of stuff, that's a total fucking utter disaster. That is an utter fucking abortion. So again, whole bunch of experts with degrees telling you got to raise your kid with high self-esteem, super high. It's the worst thing you can do for a kid. So again, when do I stop listening to experts? I never listen to fucking experts unless it's about driving.
Even then.
Well, you want to know why? Because those fucking guys will walk you through the track and they will go, this is an off camber turn and it has a late apex and it heads into an uphill and you want to hit it with a lot of momentum. So get your braking done early, settle the car, don't be turning in while you're on the brakes. Your car will be on some brake, downshift, settle the car, turn in, late apex, and right back on the gas because you have an uphill into turn 7. And you go, that fucking guy's driven this track 1,000 times, and all he's doing is getting me to go around it faster. When Dr. Kuntoff over here is explaining that there's no difference between men and women, that these are simply gender stereotypes that are foisted upon them by society, and I'm going, wait a minute. I always love football, and I always love wrestling, and I always love cars, and my sister cuts hair for a living, and I build cars for a living. You're telling my dad, that fucking wet noodle of an individual, my dad foisted
no,
upon
society
us?
Did it to you.
Oh, society? What? I didn't even know what society was. No one did anything. I just wanted a car and a mini bike. I wanted a truck when I was
four.
How
did you know what a car was? Oh,
yeah. All right. I don't listen to that fucking coos. But I do listen to the guys tell me how to get around the racetrack because he's been around the racetrack. And what he's saying actually makes sense to me versus what you're telling me. I have twins that are nothing alike. And you're telling me that I'm something that I'm not experiencing at all when I walk through the door at home, ever. But you're explaining that was simply me and Lynette foisting this upon them. Please, give me a fucking break. By the way, that whole narrative from the 60s. Out the fucking window.
It keeps showing
I used to
up.
Hear.
It
no, now it's up, been though. Squelched.
I know it came back in.
You'll find
10 years.
The new study. We'll tell it to you for the next
what,
show.
The new study on what?
What the fuck we're
okay,
talking,
okay,
about.
I thought you were talking about?
Laguna Seca and hitting
no,
the apex.
Gender or
yeah,
gender,
what okay, we're talking all right, about. Okay, all right. It's always what we're talking about. Right. I'd be super cryptic if it was about something else. The new study.
No, because you also mentioned a study about the homework or something. So that's all. You mentioned a couple studies.
Yeah, 7,000 syllables ago.
All right. That's fine. Relax.
I'm not relaxed, but we're talking about gender. We're talking about effects. You're saying they're still out here. I said it's been squelched. There's a new study, and okay. You went, what's the study on? Right. Come on, Drew.
Right.
Go find a mirror and yell at it.
Wait a minute.
But
you said that something about the mirror a couple weeks ago, and everyone went nuts on Twitter. I couldn't figure out what the hell you said to me. You said, let's not find a mirror. Let's find a solution.
Right.
What was that in reference to?
It was in reference to, let's not find people who agree with us. My mom could hang around with Happy, Zorback, and Sunshine, and they would all agree with her on her theories on society foisting gender roles.
Got it.
But then there'd be four wrong hippies.
Right.
Go find someone smart, like me in the future.
But not an expert.
And ask me about, not in this subject. You want to know why? Because there aren't experts in this subject. Just like they're not really experts in homeless. Homeless is people who have no family, broken family, drug addicted, psychiatric conditions on the street. It's not cost of living, not a quart of milk. And that just shows me there is no, there's no that, but they don't have all, you know, anyway. All right. Find the study. We'll tell you next show. I'll tell you about LifeLock, man. Cybercrime. Now, I'm an expert in this, Drew.
Okay.
This is tangible. Cybercrime. Mm-hmm. Can touch anyone, anytime. The FBI recently reported losses of over $1 billion relating to internet crimes and scams in 2015 alone. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds and can be stolen in ways you'd never think of. Leading you to criminals to sell your information, to take out loans in your name, and once your credit gets, you can't unring that bell. Once the credit goes south, they'll ruin it. It'll take a heartbeat to ruin it, and you'll spend the rest of your natural days trying to undo that bad credit. Identity theft, it's America's fastest growing crime. That's why I have LifeLock. Lynette has it. The kids have it. You have a social security number. You need LifeLock. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best protection available. Drew.
Act now. Get the added protection of Norton Security for free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for the limited time, you will also get a 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. All you got to do is call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to lifelock.com and use the promo code ADAM15. That is ADAM15 to save 15% today. Terms apply.
All right. Check out the podcasting masterclass, Irvine Improv, August 5th. A lot of the Ace Man over there. Lots of stuff planned. So go to AdamCarolla.com. There's live shows. There's a cruise. There's Corolla drink stuff going on with bands and booze and comedians and barbecue. Check it out. Swag. Get those buck slips. Be a winner. Oh, yeah. Drew?
I'm just looking that No Safe Spaces got funded. That's incredible. Good
yeah.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you and Prager. AmigoDrDrew.com. Check out the family podcast there. We need you there, please. And also just check out DrDrew.com and support the site. We appreciate it.
So, I'm going to speak in front of Congress.
What?
Oh, yeah. I'll talk about it next year.
Shit.
Until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Daredevil Events and Corolla Drinks present Rock at the Shop featuring Loxie.
Oh man, I hear you begging, please. Ain't my decision to be kind.
July 29th at South Bay Customs in El Segundo, California.
Yes, but I can help you go follow your woman through the air.
Loxie. Plus, the smoking kills.
Just another Southern California.
Rock at the Shop, July 29th.
And all the pretty girls start to look the same.
Corolla Drinks presents Rock at the Shop with Loxie and the Smokin' Kills. Hosted by comedian Matt Edgar. July 29th at South Bay Customs, 115 Penn Street, El Segundo, California. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.